Welcome back to Schneps Connects. I want to ask everyone out there to subscribe to the Schneps Connects podcast. And if you're into business networking, check out schnepsconnects.com. We're hosting monthly business networking events. So today I am thrilled to have with me Sean Rutskin, who is the president and CEO of Village Care and Village Care Max Health Plans. With more than 17 years of experience in managed care and plan growth strategy, Sean brings deep expertise in Medicaid policy, health plan operations, and market strategy. He helped launch Village Care Max in 2012 and guided its early expansion, growing the plan to 10,000 members within 5 years. Today, Village Care Max serves nearly 40,000 members across New York City, including the Bronx, Kings County, Queens County, Richmond County, Westchester, Putnam, and Nassau counties. Sean has also served on boards and policy committees, including Leading Age New York and New York State's Master Plan on Aging initiatives. So, Sean, it's great to have you on the podcast. Thanks so much for joining.
Josh, thanks for having me. As you're giving me that incredible introduction, I'm thinking I want to meet that guy.
Well, here we are, right? Me and you. I'm excited to learn more about you and really, you know, you sharing the mission of Village Care with all of our listeners. And you've been with Village Care for quite some time. You spent 17 years stepping into the CEO role then. And, you know, really it's been the organization's first leadership transition in that 17 years. So I'd love you to just like walk us through your journey along the way and really, you know, how you're thinking about Village Care's next chapter while you're navigating this transition with stability, culture, and really performance in mind.
For sure, Josh. I just have to say that we so appreciate our relationship with Schneps Media as well. You guys have been such great partners with Village Care. And I have been with Village Care for, I guess it hasn't been close to 17 years. I took a brief hiatus for 3 years for an opportunity about 5 years ago. But ultimately, they pulled me back. I couldn't stay away. You know, it was sort of like, I call Village Care my third child sometimes. Mm. But Village Care has been, we've had a lot of stability over the years. We've had a lot of change and a lot of having to pivot and adjust and respond to the needs of the community. That's sort of been our mantra. But really, in terms of leadership, CEOs, I'm the third CEO in 48 years or wow. in existence of us being around. We've been around for 48 years, didn't always have a CEO early on. But it's a really great honor to be in this place. My predecessor was with Village Care for 35 years and was CEO for 17. So filling those shoes, coming to this space at Village Care, as you mentioned, a company that I certainly was a big part of helping grow. I had numerous different roles at Village Care, including the chief growth officer for a number of years. And I have to say, without the team that we have in place, the leadership team and all those that report up to it, none of this would be possible. When we started this journey back in 2012, I think our revenue was $30 million, and now it's over $2
billion. Wow.
And that's been a consequence of really transitioning into the managed care, long-term care space in particular. And this next chapter, and I'm sure we'll get into a little bit of it, very reminiscent of some of the different inflection points that Village Care has had over the course of the last almost 50 years.
Mm. Well, listen, it has to be very rewarding to work for an organization for so many years and be able to have that opportunity to do so.
If you could work for a nonprofit, which is always nice, mission-driven, and you can work in an industry like healthcare where, you know, we really look at our members, we have close to 40,000, and realize that each of them is not a number, but a person mm-hmm. with a family, with people who love them, with neighbors, with kids, grandkids, their nieces, their nephews, their grandma, their grandparents, but they're not just a number. And to be able to do that and, yeah, make a living at the same time, who can ask for anything more?
That's a great way of putting it. Talk a little bit about Village Care Max. For those that are unfamiliar, share what the plans are that you offer and really the populations that you serve.
Sure. Well, we serve every population, but our target population that we focus mostly on, I shouldn't say every population, we really are focusing on seniors.
Okay.
New York's frail and most vulnerable seniors who are duly eligible, so they have Medicaid and Medicare often, and they need long-term care services. So in the old days, when you aged and you got sick and you needed help and support, when I was growing up in the 70s and 80s, the older adults ended up in nursing homes. And there's still nursing homes today. There still needs to be nursing homes today, far less than there were, you know, 40 years ago. But really the goal of, I think, anyone is not to go to a nursing home. And if you could stay in your homes and your communities for as long as possible with the services and support brought to you, then that's really best. And that's what we do at VillageCare. And the plans that we have, VillageCare Max, MLTC, it's a long-term care plan for people that would otherwise be residing in a nursing home if this plan wasn't available because they couldn't manage on their own their activities of daily living, bathing, dressing, grooming, and just having that kind of support brought to them and all the different wraparound services that we offer. So we have that plan, which is our largest plan. Then we have the integrated product, which combines the Medicare components, which is hospitals and doctors and everything that you would need if you fortunately had an incident where you had to be hospitalized, or even just if you had to go see your doctor, your PCP, your specialist. So we have that program plus the long-term care component. So it's a fully integrated plan and certainly the direction that New York and many, many other states are going in. And then we have a traditional Medicare Advantage plan for those who don't necessarily have Medicaid. And then we have one for those who do have Medicaid but don't need a long-term care services just yet. So it's four different products. It sort of goes from the healthy to aging in place to not as healthy to needing more services. So we sort of run the gamut of care and the continuum of care from not needing long-term care services to ultimately needing them. So we want folks to join our plan and to stay with our plan. And we have members that have been with us since our inception, which was July 1, 2012. So we
That's
just
a
hit
great
our
testament.
14-year VillageCare Max anniversary. We enrolled 17 members in July 1, 2012.
I love it. So, managed long-term care is evolving quickly amid regulatory and policy change here in New York. What would you say are the biggest shifts you're seeing in the space right now, and how is VillageCare adapting its approach in that response?
Yeah, I think we were one of the probably the early adapters to realizing that the fully integrated program, which is the MAP program, the Medicaid Advantage Plus program, which is like the insurance that we have. For VillageCare, if you're an employee of VillageCare, you get Aetna insurance. We have one card, one ID card. We go to the doctor, we go to the dentist, we go to the audiologist, vision. We have one card. And if we need Aetna, we reach out to them and they help us with issues that maybe our doctors are having with whatever it may be. When you're a senior and need long-term care services and you're dually eligible, you have a Medicaid card and a Medicare card. But once you need to join a plan like us, really the best scenario for seniors that are need the support and services that our plan offers, the best thing is to be in one plan. So we have a plan called VillageCare Max Medicare Total Advantage. It's our MAP plan. And that's where it combines the Medicare component with the Medicaid long-term care component in one plan with one care manager, one organization, one phone number, one ID, one team of people that are responsible for coordinating and paying for all of your care. The same way that we have, one insurance. There's a little bit of fragmentation in the long-term care space where you have individuals enrolled in an MLTC with us, let's say, and a Medicare Advantage plan with a different organization, and it's very disjointed. So I think the state and the federal government, both DOH and CMS, would like to see more states, because in many, many other states, it is already this way. Just have this one plan that's a fully integrated plan. It makes the most sense. And we've been fortunate enough to be one of the early adopters. And I want to say that we're either the third or fourth largest plan in New York State when you look at all of the plans side by side. It contingent on the month. Sometimes it goes up by a few, down by a few. But our goal is to, we may not ever be the largest, but number two isn't so terrible.
That's terrific. I mean, I personally have experience with my grandparents, both scenarios of them being in home and then having to be outside the home. And I think, certainly, a big part of your mission that you talked about was being able to help vulnerable populations be able to age in place in their home. And I think most people would agree that they want, to be in their home and stay in their community. How do you go about delivering that high quality service and outcomes when people are in their homes in the communities? That can't be easy work.
It isn't easy, especially when they're in their homes and communities. So if you think of it similarly, if you're in a nursing home, you're there and the doctor's there and the nurse is there and the therapists are there and the home health aides are there and the administration is there and everyone is there. And they kind of wrap all the services around you and make sure that you're, as comfortable and safe as you can. What we do is something that is similar. It's just without the walls and in your home. So we have care managers that are kind of the, quarterback of the team. And then we contract out with various different providers, doctors, physical therapists, social workers, hospitals, and the care manager and/or the discharge plan and our transition team works in conjunction with those providers to make sure that If the member is doing well, then they're doing well. We check in on them regularly. We know where every one of our 40,000 members in at any given time. When we do, sometimes, a straggler here or there could, depending on if they're healthier than others, they may be, harder sometimes to find on a, consistent basis. And some of our members here can be elusive at times, but when they need us, we're here and they know where to call. We know where to get them. And if we can't get them directly, we reach out to their providers because they're getting home care services, almost all of them, every single day. Think of it, they're using the services every single day. So we're able to connect with them through their provider and ensure that they have all the right support and services. So if they need durable medical equipment, incontinence supplies, if they need grab bars in their showers to ensure that they're not going to slip and fall, because that is a very, very big thing. And one slip and fall could be detrimental. Now you're in the hospital. And then if you're lucky enough, after the hospital, maybe you'll end up in a skilled nursing facility for a few weeks. All these things we coordinate and we work closely with the providers of those different facilities, whether it be the hospital, the nursing home, the home care provider, the DME. It's a real true coordinated approach, even to do it just for one person. When you multiply that by 40,000, it becomes exciting.
I give you credit. It's a lot of moving pieces, a lot of moving parts. I feel like you're probably part quarterback, part coach, part GM.
All
But
things. That's a
I
good analogy.
imagine in your seat, you really are thinking about strategy, but you also have to look at measurable results, which is probably easier said than done. What does operational excellence look like in practice at Village Care?
Yeah, I always say operational excellence is, trying to, run your organization like a smooth, well-oiled machine. And, we do that by learning and trying to implement all of the latest software solutions, AI. You can't get through a meeting without AI, coming up, and how we could leverage AI to have better outcomes for our members. But when I think excellence, operational excellence is operational excellence, but service excellence for us is really our differentiator and our goal. Every single encounter, because our members are at a really difficult time in their lives. It's when they need services every single day. You can imagine, we go to the doctor once a year, we hope to get a clean bill of health, and then we don't want to see the doctor until next year, right? Or maybe we have to see a specialist or two. Our members are using the services every single day. They're seeing their doctors regularly. Their days sometimes are just filled with doctor's appointments. So if we could provide the highest level of service excellence to our members at every step of the way, and to our providers and to one another, where every encounter that we have with a member or even a provider, because they're super important too, if it could be treated as the way we would want our mothers and grandparents to be treated. It's like, when you have that call with a customer service agent and it's going great and they're not able to resolve your issue, but they did such a great job and they made you feel so good and heard and wanted, because sometimes that's just what our members need to hear. And you go, you know what? I didn't get what I wanted from this call, but you really were incredible. So I'm going to stay with you guys. That's really what we strive to do. We strive at every encounter, whether it's on the phone with a member or provider, whether it's outside in the community if we're doing events, whether it's outside the community at our community storefronts and community centers throughout the boroughs, or have pop-up locations, or a provider is reaching out to us. We want that member or provider to feel like they are with the Gold Star, an incredible organization that cares about them, listens to their needs. That's really what we are striving to do better and to offer every single day.
I love, you touched on your community centers. I'd love for you to share a little bit about your community centers and also your assisted living residents.
Absolutely. Our assisted living residence is called Village Care at 46 and 10th. And it's so near and dear to me because I started at Village Care in September 2010 at basically an entry level position. So think about that. Dreams happen at Village Care.
Love it.
September 2010, entry level position, and April 2026, president and CEO. And I started at that facility because we were having a hard time filling the beds. And I couldn't understand why. It was in the heart of Hell's Kitchen. It was a Medicaid assisted living facility. We had some private pay individuals that were residing in the facility as well. It's in a great location, right in the corner of 46th Street and 10th Avenue, in the heart of Hell's Kitchen, right down the street from Restaurant Row. And it is the in-between. If you don't need a nursing home level of care, but you also don't feel comfortable residing in your home and communities with the services brought to you by yourself, and you need that little in-between, that's what the assisted living program offers. And it offers a sense of community. So some people, even though they could stay in their homes and communities with services brought to them, they're still alone in their apartment, isolated, depressed. Here, you come to 46 and 10th, there's about 100 or so residents that live there, give or take. And it really is a community. We had a memorial service for nine of our residents that passed away in 2025. Because every year, one of the residents is 105 years old. She's been with us for 20 years. We keep them alive.
Amazing.
And it was so touching and so lovely and so wonderful to see that the end stage of these residents' lives is in our care, in our facility at 46 and 10th. We all jokingly say that one by one, we're going to pick out our apartments there. And that's what we're going to, that's going to be our last apartments. So
That
that's
have to come.
46 and 10th, our residents. The storefronts and the pop-ups, they've been great. Because if you think about a typical managed care plan or an insurance plan, you don't have a place to go to if you have an issue. Like if you have a UnitedHealthcare, Aetna, for example, you're not going to find an office necessarily where they're going to be able to address your wants and needs. Maybe some do, maybe some don't. But we made a conscious effort in strategically placed areas in Queens, Flushing, in Brooklyn, Sunset Park, in the Bronx, and now a pop-up in Manhattan and Chinatown to have a place that if our members refer their friends, if they want to come in and have us help them read their mail, because many of them are immigrants from other countries that English is their second language, and their mail, which isn't even our mail, just the mail that comes in, they can't read it and they want to understand what it says. So we have customer service reps, we have reps that'll help you join. It's basically a little mini office within the community embedded, and it makes the seniors and their families feel, I think, a little bit more comfortable that when you have a place that you could touch. Different than just being enrolled in the insurance. Here is a place that you could touch and somebody you could speak to. And when they're right there in front of you, they have to resolve your issue. Sometimes when you're on the phone, things could happen, phones can get cut off. But when someone's right in front of you and you have an issue and you want to resolve, you go to our storefront and our member service reps or our sales associates or, whoever is manning the community storefronts at that time really helps you with the issues and, from A to Z.
It's probably great for you too to have your team with direct contact to your members.
It's great. And it also, when I say we embed ourselves in the community, we get involved with the local precincts. We get involved with the local officials. We really become part of the community and we do different events and we sponsor different events. And it's really been something that, for us, a plan like VillageCare, that is a grassroots, community-based, New York local plan, when someone needs our services, you don't go out looking for long-term care services unless you need them. All of a sudden, one day, and you mentioned it before, I think about your grandparent. I had this issue with my dad last year, and I'm in healthcare. All of a sudden, he needed services bad, and I didn't know which way to turn. And thankfully, I know just enough to be able to navigate this very difficult, challenging, and sometimes confusing healthcare landscape. And it was nice to know that we had these places that we can go to better help us explain what our options were and what next steps, best next steps were to be.
Sean, you really had that unique insight. Like you were talking about how you started at the bottom, really worked your way up, and you've been focused on performance and strengthening the systems at VillageCare. What lessons can you share that you've experienced as the leader of the organization now that maybe you didn't even recognize in your other roles with the company?
I would say the best lessons that you can learn in life, whether it's in your professional life or in your personal life, is you learn from your mistakes, not your successes. So when you fall on your face, that's when you really have an opportunity to understand what may have went sideways and try to learn from that and do things a little bit differently going forward. And sure, that's a lesson that I say out loud a lot, is when things are great, it's great. Everything's great, everybody's happy. It's when things go sideways fast, is that you have to learn to pivot, adjust, to change, to learn. And for me, those are really the golden moments, because it's easy when things are easy. It's not so easy when things are hard, but you really grow, learn, and evolve when things get tough, and you become tighter and closer as a team and as an organization when you go through those hard times together. And many of the leaders and many, many other folks, I would love to do a quick analysis to see who's been with us for 5, 10, 15 years or longer. We have these events each year where they're employee events where we give awards away for 5 years, 10 years. We had someone that was with us for 40 years
Love it.
recently. Yeah, my predecessor was with us for 35 years. So it's an organization that has a lot of longevity, has a lot of loyalty. The people there are just, I couldn't lead this organization without the people that do the work every single day. Going through those tough times together, those are the lessons that really separate the good from the great.
I love it. Well, Sean, thank you so much for sharing your story, that of VillageCare, and really the lesson that you gave, learning from your mistakes, is a true lesson that anyone can appreciate, no matter who's listening. So thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you, Josh. It's been great partnering with you guys, and we look forward to continued success together. And
Likewise.
congratulations to you too.
Thank you.
All right, great.